You may seek for health and riches and marry at your will, but man must wear the breeches and rule the household still. For nature so designed it, and so our fathers wrote, and clearly they defined it that man alone should vote. You wish to be our equal, we prize you something more, and proudly look upon you as angels, nothing lower. We would not have you equal, but superior to us, a creature that we idolize, though fashioned out of dust. Then mothers, wives, and sisters, I beg you keep your place and remain what nature made you, the helpmeets of our race. Let no temptation lead you, nor any wily fox, to descend unto the level of the nation's ballot box.
Well, hello, everybody. How about that song? This is Carol with Arts Live and Local. And and I'm so happy to be here as a helpmate for KMUN. But I don't want to be idolized, and I don't want to spend my life being a helpmate for this race, do you? The way we can all help each other is to be here and be caring, aware, wearing our masks, taking care of each other, and keeping Coast Community Radio, KMUN, on the air. Bet you've been hearing about it, and I'm so glad I get to be on the air. It's been half my life, and I'm old, so that's really saying something. You can not call us right now, because we're going to be using the phones very shortly, but you can go to coastradio.org, and hit the button, donate, support your favorite radio station, support the arts, support the community. Or send us a check, KMUN P.O. Box 269, Astoria, Oregon 97103. So we started out with a little Joe Glazer, and I'm sure you all know why. Because 100 years ago, August 26th, just about now, the 19th Amendment was passed. Unfortunately, though it gave the vote to white women, it did not cover black women or indigenous people. Indigenous vote came in 1962, according to Senator Deb Haaland. We've come a long way, but not quite far enough. But here's somebody who has also come a long way, and with her, she's brought the town of Astoria and our community a long way. Jennifer?
Hi, Carol.
Hi. Jennifer Crockett came on board as the executive director at the Liberty Theater. What year was that?
2016.
Wow. Feels like just yesterday, and yet that would be impossible because you have done so much together with a great board and some terrific staff. You have changed the whole tenor of the Liberty, and I and the whole community appreciates that. For those who aren't in the neighborhood, why don't you give us a little bit of information about the Little Liberty Theater? Just so that you can put it in place and time.
Sure. I came on in 2016, and you left out the amazing volunteers that we have, too.
We have
about 100 volunteers that give so much time to our theater, Carol included.
And thanks.
And we have a great board, and we have a great staff, and even more, we have a great community that has really helped us thrive over the years.
How long has the Liberty been around?
Well, we were built in 1925, mm-hmm. and we were built as a vaudeville theater and quickly converted over to film and operated through the years as a film and an event space. I would wager to say most people that grew up in this area have been to graduations and birthday banquets and their retirement parties here at the theater. And we were renovated in 1998 and then have continued to operate.
Right. And at first, from vaudeville, it went to silent films. So,
yes.
And then it was converted to talkies. And when I moved here in 1974, that's what was happening. It was movie time. And
yeah.
It was great because it is a stunning, gorgeous space. And even though it wasn't at its most beautiful, it was still an amazing place to watch movies. When you think about, you know, you usually go to your movie theater and it's just a run-of-the-mill kind of building, not the Liberty Theater. But now it is just gorgeous. And my understanding is that with the shutdown, recent shutdown, lots of new things have been done. Now, some of them you already had started. So
right.
What's happening in there?
Well, as many people know, last year, with the help of Senator Betsy Johnson and Representative Tiffany Mitchell, we took our capital campaign project to renovate and increase the infrastructure of the theater to the legislature, and we were awarded $1 million in Oregon State Lottery funds, and that money is super restricted. We're really only allowed to use it on construction, and originally, while we were doing this project, we were having to figure out how we were going to work around the busy stage schedule. So one of the only silver linings about the coronavirus is that our construction has been able to go on at rapid pace without having to work around our schedule. And so our phase one of our renovation is complete, and it came in under timeline and under budget.
Wow.
And we have a brand new concession stand, and we have a brand new vestibule and box office that we can't wait to show off.
Right, and my understanding is that for some lucky people, they won't have to wait very long. What are you doing?
Yeah, that's true. Tonight, we start our very slow and very careful reopening process. Like I mentioned, we have got a new concession stand. It will be contactless. We have a new box office, which will also be contactless.
Mm.
We had our staff meeting to talk about this last week, and we've all accepted that we are going to have to approach this situation with a measure of humor and grace in that we anticipate things will go wrong and be a little bit clunky, but we are committed to, you know, everyone being safe, of course, but also having some fun. And we chose as our first film the Tom Hanks movie, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, because we've been so overwhelmed with how great our community is and how much they've really, you know, rallied behind us and supported us through the closure. It's been really hard for us, and but, you know, we live in such a beautiful neighborhood, and so it sounds corny, but I'm really excited by
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And you can't go wrong with Tom Hanks. So,
oh, no.
So that yeah. is tonight and tomorrow night. Now, how is it, and we'll get to the others because you're doing this every weekend, but how is that going to work? How do people, if they say, oh, my gosh, a chance to go to the movies and see the new Liberty,
yeah,
what do they do?
So we are asking people to purchase their tickets online. It's libertyastoria.org. And that is so we can comply with contact tracing requirements.
Mm.
When you purchase your ticket online, you can either print your ticket at home or you can bring it on your mobile device. And we have brand new door scanners
mm-hmm.
that will be able to scan them. If you are having problems with that, which is totally understandable, our box office is open at 4 o'clock today so we can help people with the process that need it. And then The doors are opening at 6 o'clock, so you have an hour to come through distance-wise. Our volunteers, everyone is gloved and masked on the theater staff and volunteers. We are requiring masks and social distancing from patrons. You can come in. Your seats are reserved.
Ah.
And our ticketing agency had to update their software, and we had to update with them so that our seat map is interactive. So when you purchase a ticket, it will immediately block out three seats in either direction.
Mm-hmm.
So you are distanced from people and contactless concessions. So you can go down, you can buy, a soda, you can buy a beer, you can buy, we got old school style candy in boxes.
Uh-huh. So are you using the, what I'm drinking out of right now for my water is the Liberty Theater, giant sippy cups. Are you using those or no?
Yes, you can bring them. We just won't touch them. So you take your own lid off, you put your own lid on. And so we're all going to figure this out and kind of learn as we go. But right now you can bring your Liberty cups. And we're just asking that people consume their concessions in their seats so that we can keep masks on in the lobby.
Ah, good.
And and there's a number of things, like I said, I'm sure we'll learn. And we're, planning on going over this tomorrow morning with the staff so we can all say, what could we do better? What went well? And, what did we learn from? So
when you said that about blocking out three seats for each single, what if a family comes, like five people? How does that work?
You can sit in groups of up to 10.
Uh-huh.
So, and that's per the State of Oregon Health Department guidelines. So when you buy tickets for your group, it'll let your group sit together, and then it'll block out distance around your group.
In front and back as well.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, the theater seats, how many?
650, and we're limited to 50.
Oh, really, 50?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess there'll be plenty of room. That's good. Okay, is that the State of Oregon law for gatherings, 50?
Well, if we were to go by the distancing guidelines, we could actually fit closer to 130.
Uh-huh.
But the film agencies right now are running sales for the licensing as long as you limit it to 50.
Oh, wow.
So, excellent. We're actually paying about a fifth of what we would normally pay for the licensing, which makes it possible for us to do this.
I find that very exciting that the film companies are trying to, work with people. And of course, so people will take their films, but also it just, the cooperation and the coordination is very tricky.
Oh, yeah.
I know that's on you and the staff, but, now the volunteers have they been trained specially, or are they coming in early, or how's that working?
Yeah, both. Our house manager got her training on Wednesday, and our box office volunteer got his training on Thursday. And then the ushers that are coming are getting training before the show. And so I think it will be pretty seamless. We're, like I said, it's new technology in the box office and concessions. So we're a little concerned about that. But we also, I've looked through the ticket list for tonight and recognized most of the names. And we're really excited because it's such a great group of patrons. So I'm pretty confident in feeling less stressed out, knowing that, these are folks that are going to also come in with a sense of humor and grace in the situation.
And experience with the theater. Will the bathrooms be open?
Yes, and we have cleaning staff on site. So during the 2-hour film, the bathrooms will close and clean three times.
Can I borrow that cleaning staff for my house?
We're pretty excited. I'm part of the cleaning crew.
I see.
I feel like it's good to mm-hmm. know that your executive director is yes. not above cleaning toilets.
Absolutely. So. and multitasking. So,
exactly.
Well, what I like about that is, besides the humility, thank you, Jennifer Crockett, is also that you are actually experiencing these things. So you know, you'll figure out, uh-oh, this isn't yep. working the way we thought it would, or whatever, you know, however, or it is, which is even better. So where,
exactly.
now, if you said there was stuff done with the box office, and I remember that was being talked about because people had to stand out in the street on 12th Street. So
yep.
what's been done, and where should people go?
Yeah, so you no longer enter on 12th Street. You come just straight to our new glass doors, and they'll be unlocked at 4 for the box office, and then you can come on in the vestibule as long as, you know, you're maintaining your 6-foot distance.
Mm-hmm.
And the box office windows are now right inside the vestibule.
Wow. And
yeah.
it's an enclosed vestibule.
Exactly.
Wow.
So you don't have to stand in the rain.
What?
Great.
This is crazy. What kind of Northwest theater is this? You don't have to stand in the rain.
Although I'm welcoming of the rain today. It's been really
yes.
nice, actually.
It's beautiful. Mind you, it's a very light, gentle
yes.
Rain. But yes, and especially when we keep hearing about the tragic fires going on around San Francisco and California, et cetera. So
exactly.
we're happy for the rain. And the garden is, too. And the sun will come out, not tomorrow, but soon. So, well, Jennifer, do you have others? Okay, so tell us now, this is this weekend.
Yep.
Do you want to tell us what the other films are? And then basically people should go to libertyastoria.org and check it all out. But why don't you go ahead
yeah.
and just name the films?
So next weekend, we have Amazing Grace. It's the documentary of Aretha Franklin performing with the choir at Watts New Bethel Baptist Church
wow.
in 1972.
Nice.
Yeah. And so we're really excited about that one. And then the weekend after that, which is September 4th, 5th, we have a Leica Studios film, Missing Link.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I have to say, I watched the trailer probably 3 times, and I was belly laughing. It's really silly, fun.
Great. That's
yeah.
great.
The weekend after that, which is September 11th, 12th, we're showing Western Stars. It's the Bruce Springsteen film of him performing his entire album on film. So.
Mm-hmm.
And then some documentary footage of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final weekend, September 18th, 19th, we're doing Maleficent, Mistress of Evil. It's a fun Disney film with Angelina Jolie. And all of the films we picked are rated PG or G. So, and we have under 18 pricing as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then... after this, we're excited. We will have the Astoria International Film Festival coming back in October.
Okay, excellent. So right now we're focusing on films and
yep.
then see where it goes. Well, this is wonderful, and I noticed they're all either upbeat or
yeah.
moving films, and there's enough politics to go around. I'm making sure that people remember that with my music today. But I'm delighted that you've ventured this far and that the community is supporting. So, folks, if you're interested, though, you heard Jennifer say 50 tickets only, and some of them are already sold. So,
right.
libertyastoria.org, get your tickets. And if that doesn't work for you, remind me what should they do if they can't.
If they need help, our
yeah.
box office will be open at 4 o'clock.
Oh, okay, 4
yeah,
o'clock.
And then anyone that's not ready to come back out, that's totally fine, and we will see you when you are ready.
Yeah, and that includes some of your volunteers.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So I forgot to let folks know, the Liberty Theater is on 12th and Commercial, right on the corner. You cannot miss it if you try, and you won't try. It's the just beautiful building, and enjoy. And Jennifer, thank you so much. I'm so glad you're here, and that you're still at the helm, and I hope for many more years. So.
Thank you, Carol. Thanks for having me. It's so nice to be back on the show.
I agree. It's so nice to be here. And that's because, and Jennifer is also, aren't you still a board member?
I am.
This KMUN Coast Community Radio. So Jennifer supports the radio station in her way. And folks, you can support it however you are able to right now. And especially, we just started our slow pledge drive, fall pledge drive, and that's at coastradio.org. Thanks so much, Jennifer. We will see you soon.
Absolutely. Okay. Have a great day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And we're going to have some music coming up, I think. Some more timely music.
I want to be president, though I'm only 9 years old. I want to be president, sick of doing what I'm told. I went to the White House to see the president. I said, man, you got a nice house. Is this place for rent? He said, you can have it. I've had my fill. You know, it's hard to be president, paying all these bills. Everybody wants something. They want it right away. Everybody wants the benefits, but nobody wants to pay. I said, Mr. President, you know you worry too much. Why don't you take a vacation? We'll stay in touch. I called all the children from around the land. They were all happy to lend a helping hand. They broke open their piggy banks. They sent me nickels and dimes. We balanced the budget in record time. We cleaned up the country and we sheltered the poor. Now if you wanna see me, look up at Mount Rushmore.
Okay, yes, let's clean up this country and let's shelter the poor and let's do lots more. And hey, that sounds like a good idea. Is clean out the White House. So it's Carol here with Arts Almost Live and Local. And a big shout out, thank you to Nevada. I want to, for engineering. And so far, so good. We're happy. And also, I want to give a shout out to a few more people, to Squamish, to Sydney and Robin and Omaha, and to New York and Long Beach and Wyoming, and to folks all over the world who are trying to make this country and this world a better place, to all the first responders, to the really essential workers. We know who they are. They know who they are. And now it's time to be sure to take care of them. So, in terms of taking care of people, the arts is the way to go. It heals. Art saves lives. Thanks, Lorraine. And somebody across the river, Judith Altruda, was saving art. So, Judith, hello.
Hi, Carol.
Hey, it's great to hear your voice. I love it.
Yes, too.
It's wonderful. Actually, Judith was a programmer here for how many years?
I think about 2 or 3.
Is that all? No. Really?
Well, I'm not sure. It was. I did 100 episodes of my nighttime noir show.
Oh, so gosh.
That was a weekly, so maybe I'm wrong about that.
Yeah. It felt like longer because it was so rich, and I so enjoyed it, and I always hope that you will come back sometime, so... Just put that in your put that in your pocket when your life calms down a little bit. Judith is an artist.
Okay.
she is an artist herself, a metal worker, and a jewelry maker, and she also organizes all kinds of arts in the Tokeland and North Cove area. I guess this year you didn't have the big art event.
No. No, all of our art events were canceled this year. Yeah.
Okay, and that includes sort of, not completely canceled, but postponed perhaps, why you're here, and that's to talk about the Eugene Landry Project. And
yes.
The exhibit was supposed to open in May, and we were all excited, and Judith was going to come in and talk about it. And then the world changed. However, we still want to hear about it. And is the show in the museum at this point, or is it waiting to go into the museum? I wasn't sure about that. And where is the museum?
Go ahead, Carol.
No, tell us where the museum is and who. I'm just going to open the mic, and I'm going to keep quiet and let you tell us everything about this.
Well, you can certainly ask me questions,
I will.
Too, because you're the best interviewer. So, but in case the people who don't know what show we're actually referring to, Eugene Landry was an artist from the Shoalwater Bay Tribe, which is up here near Tokeland in Washington, and he passed away in 1988. So. He created a large body of work during his lifetime. All of it was painted. He was in a wheelchair for all of his adult life. He was in a wheelchair, and he made an amazing collection of work that and had a good reputation as an artist. Was known. He had work in like the Fry Museum, for example, and different regional shows. But by the time he passed away. And then these years that have passed since then, his name is, as an artist, has been forgotten. And I happened to locate a large collection of his art last year in 2019. And it had been in an attic in an unheated building with no power to it for about 25 years.
Wow.
Just sitting in a moldy purgatory, as I think of it.
Wow.
Because the paintings were, they were moldy. They were getting, some of them were getting damaged from moisture or rodents, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they were, though, salvageable, most of them. And so I bought this collection and brought it to my house and started really just drying them out and doing what I could to stop the damage from getting any, progressing.
So tell us what, he was a painter. What was his subject matter? Was it local?
Well, he made a lot. So he had sort of a post-impressionist style oil painting. And he did a lot of, and he also made a lot of drawings. But in the paintings, he liked to do still lifes, which, you could set up and come back to them day after day. It took him a while to finish a painting. But the other thing that he enjoyed was portraiture. So he did a lot of paintings of relatives, tribal members, friends. And those were a lot of the paintings that I found in the attic.
Mm-hmm.
So... all these faces, and
my understanding is that you were able to locate some of the subjects of the paintings, even though they were from, I don't know how, at least 25 years ago, but...
Oh, yeah, they were actually from this body of work. Most of it dated from the 1960s into the very early 70s. So we're talking, for a lot of them, these paintings were made 50 years ago.
Yeah.
So
the portraits?
Yes, yeah, some of the people were recognizable. You know?
And he painted mostly local folks, shoalwater folks, or everybody, anybody. So when you say recognizable, though, I mean, if you showed them to local folks, were they able to figure out who that might have been? Or even themselves, perhaps?
For some of the paintings, yes. And others are, we don't know, they're mystery models. We don't know who they were. There was a lot of paintings done on canvas board. During his art school days, like dating from about 1962, say 61 to 63, okay? And beautiful portraits. But he had written on the back of them, you know, in pencil, maybe the name of the person or the year or where in Seattle he was living.
Mm-hmm.
Those were sort of the clues.
Yeah.
But a lot of those paintings are anonymous still,
right.
the models, I mean. So... We have a website, and which I'll tell you about. I could just tell you about it now if you want.
And why don't you give it to us first?
Okay. So there's a website for Eugene's work, and it's called www.eugenelandry.com.
Oh, okay.
So it's his name.
Right.
And on there, there is a, you know, help us identify if you happen to know who this person might be or suspect you might know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a page there with thumbnails of all the anonymous portraits. And it's kind of fun to look and see the style of the early 60s is really there in the palette, the colors and the hairstyles and some of the clothing. They really are time capsules on that level as well.
Nice. Now, I did go to the website, and I saw stuff about a dome. What was that? That was, interesting.
Really cool, huh? Well,
yeah.
So Gene, I'll just refer to him as Gene. That's what everyone called him.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look him up online, it's Eugene. So Gene was fascinated with geodesic domes, and he had two of them built on the reservation at Shoalwater Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a beautiful one that's the one we have on the website that you can see a picture of it.
Is it still there?
No.
Oh.
It was torn down at the very end of the 90s. It was torn down, and where that dome once stood... is the tribe's, there's a gas station there now, and the museum is there now, and, you know, like it's a little cluster of buildings.
Okay.
So Gene was really into the geodesic dome, and I wrote a little piece for our local newspaper that someone contacted me after he read it, and it was the man who built Gene's dome.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
It was so cool.
Yeah.
So he contacted me, and he lives not too far from the area. No one knew anything about the dome here. Nobody could remember when it was built or anything about it. So this man had beautiful slides of the dome. It was built in 1976.
Mm-hmm.
And he had stories about Gene and the time that he spent staying on the reservation while they built that dome. So
right.
Great history.
And 1976, that was the time when domes were being built. When I moved here to Oregon, 1974, that's where I lived for a year in a geodesic dome. It wasn't even finished yet. My partner helped... helped Ted finish the dome, and that was 1974, 1975. Yeah, it's quite an experience. So to be able to have someone step forward and join the community of informants explaining the whole thing and giving more of the story. So is the museum that you mentioned, the Shoalwater Bay Museum, is that where the exhibit will be, or?
That's where the exhibit will open, you know, whenever the restrictions allow that.
Right.
And so it's really neat that the Tribal Museum is kind of on the site of, and also another kind of interesting thing that relates to this is Gene had, before he had this geodesic dome that I just told you about, he had a cabin moved from Washaway Beach, which is nearby in North Cove.
Right.
It was a little three-room cabin that was going to be lost because of the erosion.
Right.
And so he had it, he bought it, and it was moved down the highway and set up on the reservation right next to where his dome eventually went. And so there's so much history of the area embodied in that cabin as well. That was the studio where many of these portraits were painted of his tribal relatives or people living in the area.
Right.
So it's a really cool piece of history, too.
So the fact that the museum was open to having this exhibit, were they pleased to have this? And what kind of reception have you gotten from the members of the Shoalwater Nation there?
Well, it's been overwhelmingly supportive. Some of Gene's, he had some cousins. He has cousins in their 80s and early 80s, all the way up to age 88 living.
Wow, nice.
And they've all helped me so much with histories, photos, recordings.
Right.
One of them, whose name is Pogi, he's a big part of the story. He had his portrait in his house that Gene painted of him in 1965, and he gave it to me.
Wow, you know? Beautiful.
And so that will be, of course, that's going to go in, you know, on the exhibit.
Right.
So
right.
The tribe, the Shoalwater Bay Tribe, and the Humanities Washington joined together to provide funding to frame the paintings and build the website, you know, to support this project.
Yeah.
So we could get it out there in the world.
Right.
So, yeah, their support's been really wonderful. And one thing I want to make sure I don't forget to mention is that if you go on our website, there is a 50-page catalog called Portrait of Gene that people can order on. It prints on demand. So you can just go there and you can preview every page. You don't even have to buy it, but it's priced not to make any profit for us. We just want people to be able to buy it if they want it.
Right.
So that has pictures of Gene's art. It has a lot of Shoalwater Bay tribal history from the time period from about the 1960s into the 70s, which is a really important time for the tribe in getting federal recognition, for one thing.
Is the Shoalwater Bay Tribe federally recognized?
Yes. And that came about in 1971.
Okay.
And
part
of the stories of that are incorporated into this exhibit.
Nice.
Because of the models and that Gene painted.
And I believe that a number of years ago you worked with some of the women in the Shoalwater Bay Tribe in a writing project. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, that's going way back. That's got to be more than 20 years ago now.
Okay.
I know, because of my daughter. we had this writing group. It was kind of this came about as a creative art as a healing, a tool for healing, because there had been an infant mortality crisis at Shoalwater Bay from about the mid-80s to the mid-90s.
Mm.
And the causes of all the problems were not really able to boil it down to a specific cause. But part of dealing with grief using art, we did several projects, and one of them was making masks of faces, like plaster cast masks, painting them, and then writing about your mask. And that process led organically to a women's writing group, and that led to publishing a collection of stories by the women, five generations of women.
Wow.
Talking about their experiences. Beautiful. And they said those who participated, this had never been done before. Like these stories in this era had never been shared publicly, and they wanted to share their stories with the outside world. And so that was great.
And are some
of
those...
And so there's a portrait of one of the women from that group was found in the attic, by the way.
Wonderful. Are some of those women still there?
The youngest ones are alive, but all of the older generation have all passed on.
Wow. So you have this history and memory of them as well. Last question. I'm curious, what happens to the show? First we have to get the exhibit up and open when health returns. But then what?
A cool thing. So our plans for the show still include we want it to travel to other museums and cultural centers. Mm. And that will happen. But a really cool thing has happened in the between time that one of the Shoalwater Tribal members, whose name is Eric Sanchez, he is a film student at the Institute of American Indian Arts in New Mexico.
Wow.
Who's home for the summer. And he's going to make a documentary about this project.
Fantastic.
I mean, being made by a tribal member is, going to be great.
Yes, important.
So, and he's going to also make a short, like what we call a promo video, just a short one under 3 minutes that we can share online,
Great.
We have that in the process, too.
So folks can... hear some of this information and learn some more at the website Eugene Landry, that's LANDRY.com. Couldn't be simpler. And I'm talking to Judith Altruda, who basically sparked the whole thing and has a great follow through. So thank you so much, Judith, for persevering and you've been involved with the tribe for many, many years, of course. And so this is pretty exciting. I am so eager to see this exhibit. And now I'm going to go look at the catalog, too.
Thanks, Carol. And we are on Facebook and Instagram, for those of you who like social media.
Mm-hmm.
So, on Facebook, we are called... We are called Eugene Landry, an artist, a time, and a tribe. Probably if you type in Eugene Landry, the rest will pop up.
Right.
But,
right.
Carol, thanks for giving us a chance to, even though we don't have the exhibit going yet, thanks for giving us a chance to keep this in front of the public and gain, more followers and interest in it.
Right. And
really
one thing,
there
are a lot of people listening. I forgot about this, and you did too. Where the heck is Shoalwater Bay? So I just said in the Topland area, and that's in Washington. I realized that it's kind of an obscure, around here we know, but people in the rest of the world may not. So.
It's in Pacific County. It's on Willapaw Bay. The tribe is called Shoalwater Bay.
Mm-hmm.
It's the closest little town next to it is Topland. But if anybody just puts Shoalwater Bay Indian Tribe, just Google that. It will all pop up, the tribe's website and so forth.
Excellent.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, and I really look forward. I know you'll keep us posted when the time comes. And
I will.
Maybe some more.
And then
the radio station might be open, too, and we can all get together in the studio, and everybody can talk. So.
Oh, my gosh. that would be the best.
Yeah, we're looking forward.
I'm going to hope that we can do that in 2021.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Judith Altruda, with the EugeneLandry.com project. Take care.
Thanks, Carol. Bye.
Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. And folks... you might want to be aware that KMUN has some Indigenous programming going on these days, too. So check that out on in the afternoon, go to our website, coastradio.org. Make a donation if you can, and also check out our programming and see some of the new programs that we are offering. And now some music for you from one of our beloved local artists.
Just like that river, I've been rolling ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh yes it will. Such a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh yes it will. So I go to the movie and I go downtown. People keep telling me, Maggie,
yeah, a change is going to come, folks, but it's up to us to make sure it happens. And, of course, that was our beloved Maggie Kitson. Maggie Kitson, who brought us so much joy and so much music. And she still does, as you just heard. Well, my next guest is someone I'm not sure I've ever met. Let's check it out. Mary, hello?
Hi.
Hi. Mary Roberts is with us. Mary, have you and I ever met?
I don't think so.
Okay, so may I assume or presume, I don't like to use that word assume, that you have not been on the arts program before?
That's correct.
Have you been
my
on,
first time.
Have you been on KMUN before?
I have not.
Okay, folks, we did it again. We've got a double virgin right here. So thank you so much for coming. Mary Roberts is the board president for the Hoffman Center for the Arts in Manzanita, a wonderful organization with so much to offer that she's going to tell us about. She's also a ceramic artist, and I may have seen your work, actually, even though we haven't met. And I understand you were the one of the former Hoffman Gallery managers. When was that?
It was 2018 and 2019.
Whoops.
One guy named Dave Holt took over this year, 2020.
Okay, let's make sure your mic, your phone is close to your face. And because we're jumping in and out, so that was 2018.
I was the gallery manager 2018 and 2019.
Okay. Oh,
yeah.
Well, that's quite recent then. Okay. So, and now you're the board president. So, did you come to the Hoffman as an artist or as an administrator, or who are you? What is your connection?
I came to the Hoffman Center as an artist. I was had fallen in love with ceramics in Portland, and then when I moved to the coast, I discovered this wonderful little community studio inside the Hoffman Center.
Yes.
That was about four and a half years ago. I began working there, and
we're losing you, Mary. Are you staying in the same spot?
am going to move to a window.
Okay, let's see if we can find the best spot.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you. Let's see if your voice stays with us. Okay, so you came and you started working in the... Do you live in Manzanita?
Do? Yes.
Okay, so you started off doing the using the studio, and I actually have not experienced the clay studio, but it looks as though it's quite a going concern at the Hoffman. Is that right? Even now?
Well, it was right up until COVID. It is one of our most thriving programs. But once COVID arrived in March, when we closed the center, the clay studio had to close.
Oh.
The spaces are small. There simply isn't a way for people to safely work in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very happy to say that we've been able to start offering firing services for our local ceramicists. That just started this week.
Wow.
Due to our wonderful volunteers making that happen. So that's just starting up again, and really hoping that we can start seeing some of our ceramicists come back and bring works in.
So you're saying if people create work at home and then they can bring it to the Hoffman and have it fired?
That's...
Wow.
But there are some requirements, and best way, if there are ceramicists out there who want to get their work fired, the best thing to do is visit the website, because we are firing to a special cone, and a ceramicist knows what that means.
even I so, know.
Yeah, it's important right. to all the details. But love to be able to serve our ceramics community, yes.
And tell us what the website is.
HoffmanArts.org.
Okay. That's simple. I love these simple websites. It makes it easy to find people. Okay, but you are showing art? Is that right? It looked like you have art in the gallery right now with three different artists. Okay. Who and what and how does that work?
So our gallery just opened again, and it had been closed for, technical things. I'm trying to get on to my computer quickly. So we are showing right now three wonderful artists, a painter named Lloyd Lindley, who mm-hmm. has a collection of watercolors in the gallery. We are showing a ceramic artist named Bev Cordova. She has a collection of large monumental vessels. They're
wow.
quite stunning.
What is that?
Hand-built.
Well, what does that mean, monumental vessels? Is that talking about the size, or is that a function?
Yeah.
Or oh. So how big are they?
Some of the large ones, I would say, somewhere around 15 inches tall.
We lost you again. Come back.
the largest one is probably 20 inches tall.
Okay. That's a good size. Now, are these artists? Oh, and there's a third one. Who is that?
Yes. Dorothy Holmes Moeller, and she's painting in acrylic.
Okay.
And her paintings are of territorial views of mountains and water and trees and so on.
Mm-hmm.
They're really, all three artists are quite stunning. It's a beautiful show.
Where are they, local artists, or are they from afar? Or
they are. All of these artists are local.
Nice.
Yes, they all live in the area. Bev has a long-time participant in our clay program,
mm-hmm.
And Lloyd has shown in our gallery several times, and this is the first time we've shown Dorothy Moeller.
Nice. And they are going to be for the rest of August, is that right?
That's right.
Okay.
It closes at the end of August, and then we have a new show coming in for September that we're also very excited about. This is also a local artist, although he shows internationally, and his name is Ron Van Dongen, and he's a very accomplished photographer of botanical matter. So his show is just going to be out of this world. People are not going to want to miss this. It's hard to see his work in person, so commend it.
Mm-hmm. So tell us, well, I've told people often about the Hoffman because I love the Hoffman. It's small and very, very rich. I've been to art shows there. I've also been to concerts and lectures. I think the last, I was there for Kim Stafford, and also when Ketzel Levine brought in a woman to talk about and demonstrate pruning. And she made a total mess all over the, but she had a sheet underneath. And boy, was that instructive. I learned a lot, and it was very fun as well, even though it's, you know, it sounds pretty academic, but it wasn't. It was, we learned and we laughed at the same time. So, well, when Ketzel's around, you usually do. So this gallery now, are you using the performance space as well right now, or is that closed?
It's closed, unfortunately. Okay. Yeah. We're using the front room, but we do have other things going on.
Tell
and
us.
I wonder if you'd like to hear a little bit about
that. Yes, please. We have a few minutes.
Okay, well, speaking of Ketzel Levine,
yes.
The Wonder Garden is a 5,000 square feet. It's a botanical demonstration garden across the street from the Hoffman.
Mm-hmm.
It is, as you know, because you've seen it, it's well worth a drive just to see the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the plants are labeled with their Latin botanical names as well as the common name. So you learn a lot just walking through the garden. But on Wednesdays, Ketzel leads a Wednesday walkthrough.
Ooh.
You have to reserve ahead, so go to the website under the Wonder Garden, and it'll tell how to reserve with Ketzel. But it's a great opportunity to hear from horticulturalist Ketzel about all these plants she's collected and why she's chosen them and why she's put them together the way they are.
So I know a lot of folks are saying, why is that name so familiar? And that's because Ketzel Levine is the doyen of dirt. And she used to be on NPR, and now we have her right here in North Tillamook County. And I highly recommend going to anything she offers because she really enriches it, even her promos. So that's Wednesdays, but you have to book in advance.
Yes.
Okay, and is that
and
rain?
It's...
Is it rain or shine? Uh-huh.
I think I don't know. It's been so sunny. Now, today is awful. But I think
What else you got?
We also have a long-time program, Art of Aging and Art of Dying.
Oh, yes.
And that group is meeting weekly on Tuesdays at noon for a brown bag lunch.
Weekly? And excellent.
So
okay.
Again, in the Wonder Garden, so it people...
Oh, in the
very safe
in the Wonder Garden. I saw Liz Cole gave a fabulous theater presentation basically at the Hoffman. That's another thing I saw there recently in the last year, dealing with that group.
And you've been listening to the stations of Coast Community Radio, KMUN.
Oh my goodness! It must be time for us to go, Mary Roberts. Are you still there?
I am.
Okay, I'm so sorry. I have the clock right in front of me, but there it is. It's 3:59. Thank you so much for joining me, Mary Roberts, who's a ceramic artist as well as the board president of the Hoffman Center for the Arts. And you can go to hoffmanarts.org and plug in Manzanita. And my other guests, Judith Altruda, go to EugeneLandry.com, and Jennifer Crockett from the Liberty Theater, LibertyAstoria.org. thank you to everyone for being here. Please do support this amazing radio station. I don't know how I could live without it, and I hope you feel the same way. So let's keep it alive, keep active, and don't forget to vote. Thanks, folks.